Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I appreciate the Lord tonight. I'm just thankful for the glory of God that's been revealed to us. And for the Lord, how God works, I'm thankful. Appreciated Brother Durham's words tonight. I'm thankful for the Lord working in our lives. It's like this song just said, sometimes we can't see it. You just got to look all around. It's God's, He's there. He's very, very aware. And, but the Lord is, I know the Lord is desiring that we all get close to Him, and it takes humility. Do you know that? The Bible said the Lord is nigh unto the humble. He draws nigh to the humble. But He resists the proud. So I know that one way to get close to God is through humility, and of course it's good, if you can, to humble yourself before God. I know the Lord, sometimes I, looking back on my life, I've seen God working to humble me, and I didn't know I needed to be humble. I didn't know I wasn't humble enough. But the Lord, He, Scripture also says, He's nigh unto him that is of a contrite, broken heart and a contrite spirit. And there's something about God's greatness and His working in our lives that it breaks our heart. I think when He's talking about a broken heart there, He's not just talking about, like, you know, my heart's broken over something that, you know, I didn't have my heart set on, but the Bible talks about the heart. It's talking about the center of our affection, and there's a brokenness in man when our awareness is you know, made more full, or when God touches us in a way that we become more aware of Him. And I feel like wouldn't it be a good thing if we could see God working in the hidden places that He's working in that we can't see? But I do believe that you can get to a place in God, you can see Him work. You can see what He's doing. You can have a insight. I think Jesus had that. I think He had such a walk with God that He was able to know the mind of God and what God was doing. He discerned thoughts of men. He knew what some men were thinking. He also knew what people were thinking, what they needed to hear, the questions that were in their minds. The Spirit revealed those things to Him. And then I was just thinking tonight, I'm sure there were many times that Jesus was just walking by faith, and the Lord wasn't talking to him. He didn't know what the Lord was saying. And if he would have looked at the natural side of things, it would have no doubt been pretty discouraging. But you know, it was that touch of God that he had that kept him faithful and encouraged and in knowing what God was doing in his life. I was talking to someone today, a preacher today, that he was talking about how God had just been blessing the church, his church, and how they'd been having these really high services. And then he began to talk to me about all the trouble that was going on in the church, and just one problem right after the other problem. And I told him, I said, you know, God, it's amazing to me how much growth it takes before people are able to serve God in good times and blessings and in God's favor. When God starts favoring you, and I know y'all have heard Brother Leniger on this and other ministers, and probably myself, I've probably said something on it, how the four different, the grounds, the stony ground, the wayside soil, stony ground, thorny ground, and good ground, how it's one of the toughest tests to pass is when you enter the thorny ground stage. You know, most of us spend a lot of time, God digging, helping us find the stones, the rocks, things that are in our lives that prevents the Word of God from really taking root. And I've watched that in some people's lives. I've watched people who I can tell by just watching them that they don't have any real depth. They don't have any real dedication to God. And they get touches from time to time, but there's no real desire there to really touch God in a way that would get them planted. Then there's others I see that want that kind of touch and that kind of relationship, but they've just got so many stones. They've got so many hindrances in their life that the Word of God can't really get established. They can't really take root. The Bible said they're offended after when persecutions and trials come. God takes you through persecutions and trials. God does that, and He watches you. He steps back and watches you while you're going through that to see if the Word of God that you've received has taken any root, and you hold on to the Word of God. But if you let it go, you'll have to go through that again. If you'll lose everything you've got in God if you don't, if it doesn't finally take root. Those are tough. It's tough to get through the stage. It's a stony ground stage. But the tougher stage than that is when you do get rooted in the things of God. And then God starts blessing you, and His favor is on your life. And did you know people can't hardly stand that? There's very many people that can stand that, stand favor and blessings. They get complacent. They get their. The Bible said that the cares of this life choke out the Word of God. Finally, the things of you can get blessed, and when God starts blessing you, you'll get things. But if you're not careful, and almost everyone fails at least several times before they get it, I said, God, I don't know how many of y'all have ever felt this way, but I have. When I really get in earnest before God is when He's chastising me. It's when I'm, when God's giving me a whipping about something, when I'm feeling things are rough, time is tough. That's when I get in earnest before God. When things are going good, you don't feel the need to pray as much. You don't feel the need to seek God and talk to God. Of course, that's carnality. That's the wrong kind of thinking. Sometime or another, we're going to have to turn to a place to where we're We desire to know Him more because His favor's on us, because His blessings and His glory, and we want more of it. We want to enjoy the goodness of God, the blessings of God, and God's favor. We'll never rule and reign with Him until we get to a place that we can bear God's blessings and live in riches and have the right spirit about it. And it ought to just make us lower, more humble. It ought to just make us more thankful and have more joy and rejoicing in God. But it's difficult. That's a difficult time and phase to go through is blessings. And I was sharing that with this brother. I said, well, it sounds like God's been blessing your church, but it sounds like your people aren't taking it right. So they're probably fixing to start going through a chastising time. And I said, I know it's a circle that we have to war with the flesh. But I said, you know, I do believe that some of the people of God get through that phase, and they can live in God's blessings. They don't have to put in a place where they have to seek God's favor once again. Am I the only one that's experienced this? Has anybody else experienced what I'm talking about? You feel like, you know, you God blesses you, and then He seems like He pulls the rug out from under you. And you know, let me tell you this, God's not always chastising people when He does that. You have to get God's mind. Sometimes God is, He's not mad. He's not giving you a whipping. Sometimes the Lord just allows things to happen in your life, and then He watches you. The thing about it is, God can lift you up anytime He wants to. I was thinking about Jesus. You know, He had a different calling. I'm glad I didn't have the calling of Jesus. I'm glad I've got a home to go home to tonight. I don't have to worry. Jesus never knew one day to the next where He was going to sleep, where He was going to eat, where He was going to get any food to eat. He just had to trust God for all that. I guess He had to trust Him for a new pair of sandals. We didn't get to hear all that. We didn't get all the testimonies of who helped Jesus with His clothing and where He got, where'd He get any money at? Where did it come from? I know Judas was carrying the sack, but where did they get it? God put it in somebody's mind to give them an offering once in a while, or they did something that God helped them to come up with money. But He never one time, of course, He didn't marry. He didn't have a family. He didn't have any responsibility to have to provide for others. He just had to provide for Himself. But He still had to trust God. That was even a trial for Him not to want have life just like everybody else had. So every one of us has our own calling. You got a calling in God, and I do too. And we're going to overcome by the word of our testimony. You can't overcome by mine. I can't overcome by yours. I can't live your testimony. God called you. He's working in your life particularly. This is a And we're, how did Paul say that? And is it in 2 Corinthians 4 where he said that we're beholding in a glass and being changed to the same image from glory to glory? Where there's God, this was hidden in the old covenant. Under the covenant that of death, it didn't bring life. But then, if that was glorious, you know, he was talking there about Moses coming down off the mountain, you know, and he had his face shone such a great way. And the people of God couldn't look at him. In fact, you brethren are to study this, because that's, he's talking about that in the third chapter. But then in the fourth chapter, he said, if the things of God are hidden, they're hidden to them in whom the God of this world hath blinded. And we always taught that was, you know, sin or evil. But you might want to consider, if you read that in its context, God did that. God blinds the minds of those who don't respond to him properly. Just like he blinded them when they looked at Moses. They looked at that bright light of his face and it blinded them. They didn't want to look at that. They didn't want to look into it. And in the same way, if we don't look in this thing as a open glass, God's opened something up. If we'll behold it, we'll really set our mind to receive it. And that's the most important things in our lives, is to know and the mind of God and the direction of that He has and the calling He has on our life. I think it's so important for young people, especially girls, because women, all you married women will tell all these young girls, every one of you will tell them, when you marry a man, your life is headed in a direction that you have little control of. God, you'll have to depend on God. But you're going to go where that man goes. You're going to do what that man does. And if he's not the right man for your life, then God's going to have to work that out for you. God's going to have to help you. And sometimes God never gets it worked out. I've seen people's lives ruined, you know, girls that think they got to have somebody just because everybody else has somebody, and they get tired of waiting on God to supply the right man. And so they just go about doing it on their own. I've watched many a girl suffer a whole lifetime because they weren't willing to wait on God, let the Lord do something. And then God, it's amazing how God even gets in that and tries to make the best of it for them. And, God does, but I'm just saying it's important for us to have the will of God in our lives and for God to sanction what we're doing. Don't you know that there ought to be a ministry and there ought to be several people of God that sees what God's doing, that has a lot more experience, that can recognize when God's hand is on something. But a lot of you young people think these experienced old-timers of God don't have any brains and they can't see what you see. And that's why you get in trouble. It's because you got more sense than anybody. You're smarter than anybody else, you think. And then when you get in a mess, then you go to them and say, "Help!" Well, it's too late to help you. Sometimes it's too late when you start hollering for help. But it's important. It's important for us to have the mind of God and get His direction in our lives. Steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. If you're good, that means to be righteous. It means to be just. You could probably add it to Brother Leninger's list of being faithful, being just, being holy, being a saint, being wise, being upright, and even I added an overcomer. Not a perfect overcomer, but an overcomer. I think you could add good to it. You can't be good, not God's good, without being just. But if your steps are just, your heart's right, you've got a good heart, you got a clean heart, and you've learned the secret of how to work in God's order. God's got an order in this kingdom. Somebody said, I wasn't there, but they mentioned that in the Batesville meeting that there was, you know, somebody mentioned that we've got brethren among us now that lost a lot of their brethren, and they've come among us, but they want us to take on their ways. That's just not true. That's just not a true statement. I've went to every one of these meetings. I don't miss a general meeting. And I have never heard that projected. And I know those men, and I'm getting close to them, and that's not their minds. Their minds is not to try to get us to do what they think's right, any more than ours is to try to get them. You know, I mean, we all got ideas of what we think's right. But I think the general idea is that we want God's will. We want God's direction. I don't think a man of God would be a good man of God if he thinks he knows so much that he knows which direction this ministry ought to go in altogether. But a lot of these older men are going to pass off the scene. A lot of them have passed off the scene. I'm getting to be, you know, I'm not old, but I know that I've just got, you know, I've got a few years to make every lick count, and then somebody will be taking my place. So, you know, I know that we're in for changes in the body, and I know that God is directing us. His hand is on this. And I know that we need to be careful to watch the general ministry. You see, here's how God works. This is, God has a general body. This is the body of Christ in corporate. God's put it together. And then God has lifted up ministers that are leading men. They're chief men among us. He did that in the early church. If we think that we're going to have a restored church, and we've got to know that there has to be leaders. And leaders are not all equal. God has chief men, men that have more experience, men that are leading out, even in the general body. And that's why we've always felt the need to come together often in these meetings while we're trying to see the church restored. And there's a purpose for that, and that's to keep us in check with one another and to hear the mind of what the Spirit is saying to other men. And then it helps us to see what men have a greater voice among us, and how the voice comes about, how God lifts up men. That's something to learn in here, not only in a local church, but in the body of Christ itself. And then every local church needs representatives in these general meetings to get the general mind of the Spirit. What is God saying to the chief men? What's God saying to the leading men in this body? What's the mind of the Spirit for the body? You put more emphasis on local meetings, and that's all you go to, and you don't go to any general meetings, you'll never get the mind of the Spirit for this body. It takes men that's willing to travel, willing to set and spend money and give their life to see the body of Christ come together in unity and get the truths of the Word of God to bring back home to the saints of God. I think we need, don't get me wrong, I think we need local meetings, we need regional meetings, but they should never be lifted up higher than general meetings. General meetings are the most important thing that's going on in the body of Christ, because that's where men are working on unity. That's where we're getting the mind of what is the Spirit saying to the body. What's the Spirit? What is these ministers? What's on their hearts? What's God saying? We go to a lot of meetings and sometimes just hear a few men that God will talk to when they get up. But we'll get it. We'll get it. We'll get the mind of that. After a while, you'll begin to see what God's saying, what He's doing, what He's working on. And if I didn't ever go to general meetings, I'd probably have my mind, you know, whatever's on my mind for this assembly. But I wouldn't I wouldn't be getting the general theme of what God's saying. And so I want to be careful to include. That's one of the things that I learned. I feel like I've been a really blessed man, because when I came in this, I came in it in Texas under the Patton brothers. And those men were men that God's hand was on in this body. And I got to work real close with Brother Don Patton, and fairly close with Brother Clyde Patton. And then after Brother Don Patton's demise, I did work with Brother Clyde Patton. I worked directly under him for a good long time. He came, it was kind of amazing, but he came, spent a lot of time in the Republic, didn't he, Brother Durham? Tied his mules and his dogs up all around the church and everything else, but we got some good out of it. I didn't know what was going to happen. Them mules tied up out there right in city limits, you know, out there. And dogs. And Brother Patton, we'd have church, and then he'd want to go coon out in the daylight. But just being around him, I picked up a lot of things. I picked up on a lot of things. And then I got to work with Brother Leninger. And so I feel like I've been a blessed man that God let me work with those kind of men and glean from what they gleaned, because they went all the way back to Brother Souders. And I was able to glean something from them. And I watched how they always was careful. They were very careful men to never, you know, take sides very fast or to speak out against anything too strong. They'd always watch for God to see, make sure maybe he might be in this some way, something God may be going to do different. They was careful men. They learned that. They learned how to be careful. And it took me a long time to learn that, because, if I saw something, black was black and white was white to me. I didn't have a whole lot of gray, but the older I've got, the more gray I've got. I don't talk about my hair either. I'm talking about in between the white and the black. There's a lot of gray areas that you better hold on to. Better not be too certain about what's black and white, because you'll find out God's in the middle of that somewhere. God works with things that are imperfect, even though He's got it in mind of getting us, heading us in the direction of perfection. Praise God. Well, I didn't get up here to say all that. I got up here to close the service. But I love the Lord, and I feel like He's working right now. And He's talking. Let's get close enough to Him to hear what He's saying and to know what He's doing. And let's be a part of it. Let's learn how to work with Him. Let's find out more how to work with God. And then let's don't, here's the way to do. If you say, well, you know, Brother Smith, I've made some mistakes. Well, get up and shake yourself and clean yourself up and get all washed up and get back in the trenches. Get back into working for God. Don't let the devil tell you you can't do it. You can do it. All you got to do is look up and keep your eyes on Him and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Make up your mind. I'm not going back. I'm not, how's that song say? I won't look back. I won't turn back. I'll keep pressing on. There's more to it. I can't get it in my mind right now. I won't give up. I won't turn back. I got to keep traveling on or pressing on, holding on. Anyway, you got to we got to be determined in our heart. You know why? Let me tell you why. If you fail and you turn back on God, I'll promise you, you'll just make a great big circle and God will beat the stuffings out of you and you'll get a bunch of scars on you, but you'll find yourself right back here begging God to forgive you and to help you, and you have lost all that time. I've watched people. I've watched them make these circles. Some people do it their whole lifetime. You'd think they would learn. If God is your God and you're His child, He loves you and He's not going to let you go. He don't care how much you don't like it. He loves you too much to care about what you like. He wants to save you. And He'll do what He has to save you. And that's because He loves you. And He made a covenant with you. He gave you the Holy Ghost. You're His child. He takes that responsibility. He don't take it lightly. He takes it serious. If you're God's child, you just well to make up your mind, I'm going to humble down and serve Him. Because He'll never leave you. And He'll never forsake you. And you'll be the most miserable person in the world if you don't serve Him. And it's the best life that you could ever live anyway. I'm telling you, I tasted the world. That's what I think about it. It stinks. It's rot gut stuff. It's rotten. Yeah, there ain't a good thing about it. Go to bed all ate up with conviction, get up with conviction. You ever watched a person's countenance? When they go back, it's amazing. People come in here and they're lying, their face, you just tell by looking at them. They're living right. Their heart's right toward God. They get their heart all messed up. They get dabbling around the world. They come back in here and their countenance has changed. They got that hard look again. They got that look of the world on their countenance. It's amazing how that works. Oh, and how it feels. You know what it feels like? When your heart's clean, you know it's all fixed. I'm all fixed up. Hallelujah. I've got things fixed up between me and Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel good in my soul. I can sleep tonight. I know God. God's forgave me. I've made things right with Him. I'm on the right track again. Hallelujah. My God, there's no better feeling than that. It's been a long time, but I mean, I can still remember how miserable it is to not be where I ought to be with God. And that doesn't mean that I'm not striving for a higher place right now, but my heart's right. My heart's to serve Him. I have full intent of staying with Him by His grace. I know it's going to take His help, but I've just learned He will help if I'll keep my heart right. Yeah, it's not hard to serve God if you serve Him hard, but it sure is hard to serve Him easy. Yeah, that's right. Praise God. I'll see you Sunday morning. God bless your hearts. Shake hands with somebody and be friendly.